We have reached the third Sunday in Advent. Now, traditionally in the church, the color for the season of Advent has been purple. It has been a time of waiting, even penitence. And on this Sunday, after being so patient, so penitent, and thinking about what is to come, the candle for this day, traditionally, would be pink. No longer a time for sitting back and thinking and wondering and hoping, but a time for rejoicing. The third Sunday in Advent, a time for joy at the promise. The Messiah is coming. Now, as the modern church has changed to the color of blue, we've saved purple, the time for penitence, for Lent. But today is still the candle of joy, or as Tom was reading, they call it even the shepherd's candle. Joy. What is joy? People have searched and searched a lifetime trying to find joy. I haven't researched all of these people here, but there was a book that I was reading that wrote about these different men and their search for joy. Voltaire, for those of you that may have known about Voltaire, Voltaire was a very, very proud atheist. There certainly are hints that he may have recanted on his deathbed, but during his life, he was an atheist and proud of it. And he shouted it to everyone he knew to make sure that they knew that he had absolutely no belief in the Christian God. He wrote in one of his writings, "I wish I had never been born." Searching through this unbelief, Voltaire, at least while he was an atheist, never found the joy he was seeking. Another famous man, Lord Byron. Lord Byron wrote a lot of poetry. Probably you high school kids have had to read Lord Byron's poetry. I know I read it when I was in school. Lord Byron lived a life where he did exactly as he pleased. He lived life and took the pleasures of this world to the absolute maximum. Whatever made him feel good was whatever he did that day. In one of Lord Byron's poems later in his life, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." He was a very sad man. Again, there were signs that I have read that on his deathbed or as he was dying, that he recanted. Jay Gould, famous millionaire, during, I believe it was the railroad system. If I'm not mistaken, I think at one time he was declared the ninth richest man to ever live in America. He had everything that he could need, all the money in the world, and yet he wrote, "I suppose that I am the most miserable man on earth." Again, no joy. All the money. What about position, fame? Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed that, Prime Minister of England. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age simply a regret." No joy. Alexander the Great, conquer. I mean, the Greek language was spread throughout. We even have Greek written in our New Testament. His impact on the world was huge. And yet his regret was that there are no more worlds to conquer. No joy in unbelief. No joy in having all the pleasures that you could possibly imagine or think up. No joy in having all the money at your disposal to buy and purchase anything you could want. Or to have position, fame, recognition, no joy. And nor in military glory. The only joy we have is in Christ alone. There is joy in truth. So much joy that when the Magi, not even Jewish people, the Magi, when they saw the star in the sky, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. As a matter of fact, something to look into this week when you have a couple moments. When the Magi come and they meet with King Herod, an interesting little word there that some of you may not have caught. We always say that the wise men were following a star. And they certainly were following a star. But when they meet with King Herod, they said, "We are following his star." They knew. They knew that there would be a star that would point to the new king. And they asked King Herod, "We come following his star, he who is to be the king of the Jews." Certainly made Herod frightful, but the wise men were rejoicing. There is joy in worship. You here today, you should have joy in your hearts. We are in the presence of our King, Jesus Christ, as we speak. And there should be joy in your hearts. Luke 24 records, "They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." His disciples, they had great joy in their hearts, knowing that Christ, their Lord, was alive. It's the only place to find it. Paul and John write about the joy we have in each other when we know that the other has found Jesus as their Savior. Paul writes in Thessalonians, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming?" What can we boast about when Christ comes? What is our joy? Is it not you? Do we not boast? Are we not joyful that our brothers and sisters have found Jesus? John writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." As grandparents, is there no greater joy to have your grandchildren here, hearing the Word of God, or at another church with their family? Is there no greater joy to know that they're hearing about the coming Christ and that He will come again? As parents, seeing your sons and daughters here, what greater joy can there be to know that they have faith? It's a wonderful joy that fills our hearts. And it's not even a joy that is kept just here. It's not even confined to this room or this earth. But the angels in heaven, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One sinner who says, "Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry. Please forgive me." We just went through a confession of sins. There must have been a party up there just about 5 minutes ago. What greater joy is there? The joy we search for cannot be found in power. It cannot be found in money. You know what? There's never enough money. You make a little more and somehow it's just like having a home. You move out of one home into a bigger home because you're running out of room. And guess what happens? Eventually you run out of room in that home too. I can attest to that. There's never enough room. There's never enough money. There's never enough power. There's never enough fame. If that's what you're searching for to find joy in your heart, you'll never, ever find it. The devil just keeps dangling that carrot out in front of you. The only joy we have is in Jesus Christ. I really do wish Senna was here today. Not that your reading was bad, but the people of Ethiopia have so much less materially than we do, and yet their hearts are filled with such great joy in knowing Jesus Christ. There is joy. I have a quote to conclude here from C.S. Lewis that when I read it, I thought, wow, how appropriate for the day when we're talking about the candle of joy. "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. And like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we, as humans, are far too easily pleased." The joy dangles in front of us. It's there for our taking. I saw joy in action yesterday. How many candy canes did you hand out, Tommy? Do you remember, Carol? 280. 280. And you realize that on the 280th candy cane that was handed out, I think Tommy was still as joyous as the first candy cane that he handed out. And he was handing these gifts out as if there was absolutely no better gift in the world, and these people had to have it. You don't know what you're missing. That is the gift of Jesus Christ, that we too should be equally as happy and joyous to hand out to all those who do not have it. The gift of joy that really completes the Christmas season. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Let Jesus fill your heart and offer that joy up as a gift that they cannot possibly refuse. Amen.